Yeah, what you are about to hear is a work of fan fiction. All characters and events and settings, even those based on the ones from World of Warcraft, are entirely fictional, and half of it was probably made up on the spot. Listening to this production indicates your consent to its terms of service, which we forgot to write down.
Last time, our heroes, relying on Ari's new demon hunter sight, discovered the true form of the monster impersonating King Anduin, a dreadlord wielding the black shard from the day the sky broke. Seeing that a fight here would cost too many innocent lives, they chose instead to head to Pandaria to seek out the blue shard and, hopefully, solve the food shortage issue once and for all. Can they pull it off? Let's find out now as we queue up for some more Heroic Dungeons and Dragons.
You see it. There it is, man. The Branded Beauty is docked up. And they worked on it. There is new lettering on the hull that shows the name of the ship, and man, Butch, it's just so nice. The bees in the words branded and beauty look like they were scorched onto the wood with a massive brand.
Because they probably were.
Nice. They might have been. You get there, you're met on the dock by Tisha, the night elf who was on the boat previously, the last time you guys were on here. She is now the first mate and the sous chef. And as you are introduced or reintroduced to the crew, now a lot of the crew on the ship are the same as they were the last time you were here. There are a couple of new faces, but they all seem to have a deckhand title of some kind and a kitchen role. And they use those phrases interchangeably as though chef and captain mean the same thing. You see Billy, he comes out from the kitchen area. He's wearing a tailored and altered version of chef's whites that have like these long tails on the back, like a pirate's coat would have.
So he's instead of dressing like a captain of a ship, he's dressing like a
kitchen chef, but like a piratey kitchen chef. Absolutely. He's got on a pirate hat, the three corner hat, right?
Uh-huh.
It's piratey on the bottom, but in the middle part and the top part, it fluffs like one of those big fluffy chef's hats. Okay, so it's both. It's pirate hat and chef's hat. Tisha, the first mate and the sous chef, she's got her sleeves rolled up to the elbow, and she's wearing what at first looks like an asymmetrical dress almost. Like it goes over one shoulder but not the other. But then you realize, nope, not a dress, kitchen apron. And it's cut, you know, and it's her daggers and her throwing knives and stuff that she was wearing that have been replaced by kitchen knives and utensils that are sheathed on her hips and like on her, like the upper side of her legs. And everybody else in the crew slash kitchen wear kitchen attire that is comfortable. There's a lot of non-slip shoes running around, you know, you got to watch out for grease, that kind of stuff. But you, like I said, you know most of the crew. You're talking to Billy Greenhops, right? He's the chef and the captain. Tisha is the night elf woman. She is the first mate and the sous chef. Tilber is the gnome who had that flute foot. Remember him?
Yes.
He had a flute for a foot. He's the boatswain and also the line cook. Lump Paul the gnoll is the senior deckhand and the dishwasher. And there are two new crew members. Thomas, who is a male human, big, rotund body. He's got on an apron, and it's just covered in slop. Like, he gets messy when he goes to work. Mm-hmm. You guys passed through Goldshire on your way here. You may have seen him working as a cook in Goldshire. He's actually the cooking trainer in Goldshire. He's there as a cook and as a, you know, sort of generalized sailor. And you see a female Pandaren. She introduces herself as Sungshin Ironpaw. And she's also a sailor and a cook on this vessel. And, you know, big hugs and getting caught up and, well, what, you know, what have you been doing? And it's like all these things get to roll. Is there anything that you guys need to address before we set sail and leave Stormwind?
Before we got to the boat, I probably would have stopped by to talk to Mia real quick. I'm sure she was at the announcement as well. I don't want her to be, like, in danger, but I would tell her that, like, Anduin isn't Anduin, which I think we've kind of talked to her about that, so she knows that, but, like, we've confirmed Anduin isn't Anduin, and that Ginn is not in control of himself. So, like, anything he's saying or doing isn't 100% him at all. Because I know she had made a comment about him spending a lot of time in the castle, and she'd been doing all this stuff with the people, and as much as I hate him, you know, he's not himself. So anything that's happening or that he's doing, like, don't hold it against him.
She takes that very seriously as well. She was there when you were unconscious and recovering, and would have been given whatever information was shared with her about what you guys saw when the portal opened and that Anduin's in what we know to be the Shadowlands. So confirmation that, okay, these are the specifics that are in play and these are the specific risks, she takes that very seriously. And she says that she will continue to do what she has to do to make sure that the people of Gilneas and Teldrassil, but also anyone else in Stormwind who might need her help, are going to still receive it, regardless of the fact that there may be extra risks involved. But this will make any future interactions that she has with Ginn more... I mean, the knowledge all on its own will make her safer, because she will know how to act in certain situations. But she's like, this is good information to have, but it's ultimately not going to change how things are run in the refugee area and in the cathedral. So,
well, I would tell her about the Scourge being in Silver Pine and Shadowfang Keep, because he mentioned that as well. Because Shadowfang Keep probably has like a lot of deep emotions for us and stuff like that. So I would tell her that they're being sent into a trap. And anything she can do to make up excuses for why people cannot sign up, like, you know, we're refugees, we just got here, we have to still tend to ourselves and things, will come later. Like, just any legitimate excuses she can make to keep as many people here as possible for as long as she can, people are going to look at her seriously. They're going to, yeah, you guys did just go through all this stuff, that sort of thing. And knowing who she is the type of person I think that can pull it off and would know how to do it.
That is a fantastic piece of information to have shared with Mia Greymane. She will do her best to do that, but that 3-minute conversation very well may have saved a lot of lives.
So that would have happened before we went to the boat, which shout out to Falkus for reminding me we should talk to her, because I forget all the stuff that we have going on here. But yeah, so that would have happened, got to the boat, all that fun stuff, and then I don't have anything else. I'm ready to go. I would have probably stocked up on parchment and stuff, just knowing the abilities I have now. I don't think that needed said. I feel like that would have been done when I got things, but I would have stocked up on like parchment and ink and things to make scrolls.
I think that any of the any of that logistical stuff, you for sure, absolutely. As well as, I'll even throw it on here, and we don't have to do any, like, big thing about this, but some winter coats, probably a good idea. You know, some, like...
Oh, yeah. I think knowing what we know, especially me and Falkus, we would have stocked up on some winter gear for dealing with that. I don't know much with your fur if you need to as much, but...
No, I come equipped. My fur helps me out with hot temperatures and cold temperatures.
All that being said... Again, unless there's anything else, we're ready to set sail. You guys start headed to the south in like a slightly westerly direction, because you're headed toward Pandaria. given what we know about our various different missions, are we pit stopping at secret pirate treasure, potentially secret pirate treasure land?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? There's other stuff going on, but there's treasure on the horizon, and we're on what used to be a pirate ship. So let's get to it. So you guys sail for a day and get within horizon sight of an island in the distance. As you guys close the distance, you see that this used to be an island with a fortress built on it. It's a little ruinous these days. It doesn't look like the Cataclysm treated it very well. Keep in mind that the maps and such that you found were like pre-Third War. Like they were old, you know, pirating shipping routes. The Bloodsail Buccaneers have gone through several, you know, iterations of power. So this place looks like it's a little on the rough side. As you guys begin to approach, Billy would see its condition, think about it for a second, and make a suggestion that maybe we have lunch before you guys go exploring this place.
Absolutely.
And would prepare for you a seafood burger that he calls the Anything Is Possible Burger.
Nice.
Shout out to, I don't know if Bob's Burgers featured it, but if they didn't, they should have. And if they did, I stole it. As you bite into it, you immediately can tell that this is going to be a well-fed food. Billy would be like, well, you know, if you want to learn it, I'd be happy to teach you it on the way. You know, we have still about another day and a half's worth of sailing to do. So we get to Pandaria, you can have this if you want it.
What's it called?
Any dash fin is possible burger. As you're pulling it up, I will go ahead and read it. It requires fresh caught fish that are flame krilled, served whale done on a bun with veggies and sauce. After you eat it, you do get a swimming speed that is equal to your walking speed.
Nice.
Your regular movement speed, which lasts for an hour.
And that's what we're having for lunch right now?
Yeah, he would look out at this island and go, well, you know, it's going to be hard to say looking at it from the outside, but wouldn't be surprised if it came in handy.
We've long rested since we've left Stormwind, right?
Absolutely. You've been on the boat for a little more than a day. Which, on that note, is there anything that you guys will have wanted to do during your day's travel? You still have about another day left on the photocopy for the scroll. But if there's any other tinkering that you guys would like to do, any other kind of role play, discussion, whatever.
I would just be catching up with Billy. What? So you've been back and forth across here, looks like. How did you even, you know, does Goldshire even have a, you know, how did you get the cook from over there? Why are you filling your boat with cooks?
Well, you gotta have a crew to run a ship, so I figured, you know, I'd get a crew together, and we still had most of the crew from, you know, the last time when the thing with the orc and all them, you know, stuff was happening back when we didn't know we was all pirates. You know, we picked up Thomas. He was, you know, just looking for something new, and he, you know, we caught up with him, I don't know, probably like 4 or 5 weeks ago in the, it was a little even further back than that, actually. I hope I'm not ruining my timeline, because how long ago was it that you guys were at the Brand of Beauty the last time? I actually don't know the answer to that question.
We've been in Stormwind like a month or something, at least. I mean, we've been training and stuff.
I'm not sure that it's been as long as that. It's been like a year and a half, real lifetime, but it's hard to know for sure. He would say that it's sometime between the last time that we saw each other. We parked off at Stormwind, and he was looking for something new to do, so we figured, hey, you know how to cook, and you bet you know how to sweep, probably, I assume. So we brought him in. I forget the name of the girl. Shoot, had it in front of me.
Did you go down to Pandaria for her?
No, she wasn't actually at Pandaria when we found her. We stopped off over at that other goblin spot. Not the one that we were at, the booty. What's the other one on the other side? Gizmo.
Ratchet.
We stopped off at the Ratchet. And she was there. She was looking actually originally to get back to Pandaria. We went sailing past and saw how rough things were, and we didn't really have the equipment or the know-how to manage, because Half Hill, as I'm sure you remember, is roughly kind of like in the middle-ish of the valley, which is pretty far sight away from any of the docking areas. And to get her all the way back into Half Hill would have been, after all the weather and whatnots, would have been kind of a feat. So she was like, you know what, maybe I just hang out here on the boat. Y'all cook some pretty good food. I'm putting words in her mouth, but I think I've earned it. And she's been with us ever since. She's great. You know, you're just picking people up along the way. They're all good people. You know, just out here trying to make an honest day's living. We've mostly been shipping, foods and stopping off at a local town and, you know, do some cooking and earn some money that way. And, you know, whatever jobs we can pick up.
All right, then. Well, it's good to see you. I appreciate this this food in my belly. Food in Stormwind has not been all that great, if I'm going to be honest.
That's actually, when you called us and asked us to come into Stormwind, my first thought was that, you know, we were looking to set up shop and, feed these poor people. But this seems like you've explained, kind of, you know, roughly speaking, what it is you're looking to do. So I understand the importance here, but I think after this is all said and done, we're gonna have a great big old business opportunity set up shop just outside of Stormwind, feeding everybody the good food.
Well, hopefully. Now that's I hear it's cold Pandaria right now. Y'all prepared for that?
No, y'all got, not like, at all.
Like, not at all. But what if there's like ice in the water or something like that? You reckon?
So we did get close enough to see there is, but not everywhere. So we find a place to dock at where we can unload everybody. Or worst comes to worst, it'll be a little choppy, it'll be a little cold, but we can anchor offshore and then rowboat in, which would be a little safer for the ship, a little rougher for the people in the rowboat. But it depends on the circumstances. You know, we got to figure it out. But, I'm thinking... The further south we go, the warmer. So I'm thinking probably down south toward Krasarang is going to be a better place to dock than up north in like the Kunlai area, especially considering the cliff faces and all that other stuff you'd have to figure out, and it would be icy and it'd be nasty. So I'm thinking probably closer to the southern jungles as a place to dock at. Overall, what are you guys looking to do on Pandaria? We haven't talked about that yet.
Well, you know, we're continuing... Yeah, you know, it all just started rolling, and we figure we want to start helping people. You know, the thing is, I don't know like how much Billy knows about the crystals, or if we ever told him. And I
don't know if you did.
Keep that close to my chest. Okay. I trust Billy, but I don't know his crew and stuff like that. So. And then once we got to Stormwind, we were all like learning new stuff. I learned some new recipes. So I got stronger.
We're going to have to talk about that, but okay.
Oh yeah. You learned some new recipes. Absolutely.
If it's all right, I don't want to step on your toes or nothing.
Are you kidding? What's mine is yours. And you already gave me a recipe already. There's this spider delicacy. It sounds weird, but I'm telling you, if you get a place with the giant spiders, this thing is good.
What's spider meat tasting like? How do you?
Little like chicken. Little like
no
chicken.
Kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I love chicken.
Except you can, you know.
Isn't it funny how everything tastes like chicken?
Well, you know, white meat, you know, it's not going to taste like red meat, you know, and that's kind of what it is. It's lean. It's lean, so it is healthy for you. It's good, and anyway, if you just but the secret to making it real good is to put a little bit of the drop of poison, you know, not too much, You're not trying to actually make someone like sick, okay? You're just trying to like little spass it up. So, you gotta be careful with that.
He does a deep belly laugh, slaps you on the back, and full on calls you a madman.
You know, kind of like eating blowfish.
Well, the part that you eat isn't poison. It's fine.
Yeah, but if you get the blowfish stew, you can ask for a little of the poison to be put into it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And blowfish stew is just basically tasteless. The blowfish doesn't taste like anything. Anyway. All right. So, you know where this, treasure place is. You know anything about it? You know what we're stepping into?
Well, I ain't never been here myself. We followed the maps that, your skinny little friend brought on board from that time when you was doing that job for the orc guy.
Yeah.
So, no, I never been here myself. I figured, you know, the fish food would be good for just in case if there's, flooded rooms or something. It'd be easier to get around. But, no, outside of that, no idea. Other than, it used to be a pirate place, so presumably there's pirate treasure. If you find any, you know, we got a boat, so we can just sail away with it if you want to.
Well, yeah, that's the plan. You know, adventure. All this, heist and stuff. Oh, you were asking me what I was going to Pandaria for. Listen, Stormwind's hungry. People are hungry, and there's something wrong with Pandaria. Pandaria's my home. It's our home. I want to figure it out, you know, and get those big old turnips.
You don't, he gets real quiet like he's going to share a secret, and he goes, you don't think them, you don't think them bugs is doing this, do you?
You know, I ain't thought about that. And then the thing is, him mentioning the bugs just puts my fur just like sticking straight up, you know, this is not what was in my head, and I know that there's probably a gem on Pandaria and stuff, and I'm not talking to him about that, and it never occurred to me, right? I'll tell you what, it never crossed my mind that we'd be dealing with bugs and messing around with the weather, then mess around with so many other things. I don't know why I didn't think about that, but I sure hope we're not running into bugs, but if we do, and then my fist just gets tight, you know, it's hard to hide emotion, and I wouldn't do that around him anyway.
While that's happening, in, I assume, the galley, because obviously.
It's probably the biggest room of the ship now.
Yes. If we have to go to a Branded Beauty map, it's going to be the same map that you guys had last time. Uh-huh. But that makes perfect sense. So, yes.
They knocked out a wall.
Yes. That happened. There's a row of stoves and ovens and such. Beautiful. Falkus and Ari, is there anything in particular that you guys are doing or working on or anything like that?
Falkus, having had the little situation, experience with using the goblin engineering goggles to spy on the presentation of Anduin, of Dreadduin, I really want to create a parabolic ear that pops out of the goblin engineering goggles for an engineering point. So it like pops out a little disc that then cups over the ear, and then I can point the disc at a distant thing and be able to hear in on conversations from a distance.
Okay. I think what you've just described is the prosthetic from the bad guy from Wild Wild West.
I was actually looking up Miss Lippin Reader. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. U.S. Marshall? U.S. I can't remember.
Army.
Army. Yeah, that's it.
You didn't memorize that movie like I did? Come on. I can't think of a reason that you couldn't do that other than just the dice. So do me a favor and hit me with a DC 15 engineering check. I'm going to say that that's going to be intelligence and proficiency, right? Does that make sense?
I think so. I need to add this to like my skills list here as a manual modded skill. So you said intelligence plus proficiency. All right. So
yeah. So a d20 plus six.
Not going to happen today. These dice do not like me. That is an 11.
You design it and you make a few attempts at building it, but they don't quite work right. You need to adjust,
your equalization is all over the place. You know, the compressor plugin is just not working and there's no way to change the gain.
So as soon as you turn it on and start to listen, you just get loud, like off. It needs improvement. You have the design ready. You're working on it. Maybe it'll be ready tomorrow. But I love that. Thank you. That's a great idea.
Perfect. Yep. I was just like, when you told me I was too far away to hear it, I'm like, God, I wish I had like a parabolic ear or something. It's like, oh, got it.
Are there any spellcasters on the ship?
Ooh. Let's go ahead and look at the crew. I would say that, if we're going to judge everybody by their class, Billy is closest to Monk. Tisha is, I'm going to say, Rogue. I think Lumppaw is probably some flavor of Fighter or Barbarian. So, Tilber, as a gnome, is going to be more adept at arcane things anyway. Let's say that Tilber is a, remind me, what are the classes in this game?
Mage, Sorcerer.
What would Tilber be?
Cleric.
He has a prosthetic flute. Let's say he's an Artificer. That's fun.
There we go. I would like to, during my time here, any spells I can transcribe from other casters into my spellbook. So whatever you feel is fair, and we don't have to like decide that right now because I won't be able to use them anyway. So if that's something you'd like to look at more, but any spells I am able to transcribe and learn from another caster, I would like to.
Okay. You're going to be picking up at least one spell from the Artificer spell list from Tilber. I think you and I can have a conversation off camera about what makes sense for that. But yes, you can start having that conversation.
Perfect.
Yeah, let's make Ari more OP.
Dude,
here's the deal. We don't even know. No. We don't even know how OP she is yet. So
do you think it's a problem to have a bard, demon hunter, artificer, wizard in the party? Werewolf? You think that's a problem?
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm interested to see how it works. All this stuff happened while we were in Stormwind, and we're, you know, I want to see how the battle plays out. I don't know how anyone keeps up with all of that. That's the reason why I play a barbarian. And the most complicated thing on my sheet are my cooking recipes. All right? I hit things with hammer, with a blade, with an axe.
And you're so good at it. Bless your little heart. Sorry, that was very insulting. I understand. That was a mean thing to say.
No, I'm just saying, there's a reason I do this. There's a reason I play fighters and barbarians. And Ari has just decided to crank it up. And generally, when one cranks up the difficulty on something, they have the opportunity to be OP.
Here's the thing.
So let's see how this works.
Demon Hunter, for those of you who haven't visited the Discord and taken a look at the Demon Hunter class, what Summer has just explained about complexity, that's true, and Ari's not yet a level 3 demon hunter, which is when it really starts to get complicated, because there's a brand new resource that is introduced at level 3 for demon hunters that they have to keep track of every combat. It's gonna be a pain in the butt. I understand that. If you're gonna send me a message about how much it's a pain in the butt, I get it. I fully get it. If you have a better idea, let me know. I want to hear it. So,
The night before, I would have had a conversation with Butch and Falcus about, so basically, like, what skills would you like me to create a glyph with? Because I feel like I probably could have created two glyphs during the afternoon and evening travel.
Yes, so, fair. Yes.
Like, Summer and Erica, what glyph would you like?
To remind you, a glyph is a thing that a scribe can create that gives you a bonus to one of your skills. Arcana, history, persuasion, whatever.
It was like a temporary buff.
Yeah, you get it for use, I think. Yep, 1 hour or up to when you use it, so you can like kind of preemptively put it on there.
And it's for a skill of my choice.
Yep, it'll give you +5 to that skill.
+5.
Yep, that's once. What my notes say. Yep.
+5 once.
Just once. So yeah, like you
give
can.
Give me. I was gonna say, give me an engineering one. Can I do that?
That would be insight?
Intelligence?
Well, we did just say about engineering checks and creating an engineering skill. I don't care, man. Do it. It's more fun that you can do it. So yeah,
perfect.
Engineering glyph, +5 to an engineering check.
I'm just adding it to my scroll bag because it helps me know what I can make. So that's why I'll have it in there.
Oh, I actually did explicitly put this in the feat. It says you can use an action to create a glyph in your inventory, granting yourself or another character bonus. Glyphs can also be created for tool proficiencies. So yes, you can do that.
Perfect.
Bam, engineering roll.
Perfect.
I added same thing I did for lockpicking, because lockpicking doesn't exist as a skill list here, so I just kind of created it. Like the lockpicking one, because as a rogue, I took it as expertise. So it gives me double proficiency bonus to it. So the engineering one is my intelligence stat, plus that I am proficient with it. So my proficiency bonus, +6. Yay.
Alrighty, so I have very little charisma, wisdom, and intelligence. Charisma might actually surprise you, based on how charming I am naturally. So, wisdom, I could do perception, and then would that help my passive perception?
No, because it would just be when Casey's like, "Hey, roll a perception check." You would get a one-time, like I'd add 5 to this.
Oh, y'all said once many times, and in my head I was like, for an hour, once for an hour.
You have to use the scroll, and then for an hour you get it until you use it, I think is how he worded it. Let me pull it back up here.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So there's investigation, there's perception. I'm thinking performance.
Okay. Absolutely.
I'm looking at other charisma stuff. Intimidation, I've already... I am proficient in intimidation, which is charisma.
It could also be something that you want to just guarantee you pass. So, like, for Falcus, like, creating some stealth ones wouldn't be bad. So we know if we open them, like, you're getting a +5, +6, like, your minimum you can roll is whatever. So you could also look at it that way, too. Like, if you want to guarantee I want to pass a check and I already am proficient in it, stock up on those scrolls.
This is so neat. And there's things that Butch just wouldn't use, like sleight of hand, or I would say deception, except I really decepted those people at the jail at the stockades. Wow. Yeah, with a +1 on deception only. This is hard. Okay, I'll tell you. It'll be either wisdom or charisma, but let me get back to you.
Okay.
On what that is.
Okay, now I'm good. I'm ready to do whatever we want to do.
All right, cool. Yeah, you guys are able to disembark and get toward the island. There is, so the image that I'm showing you guys, I wanted to use to reflect the ruinous nature of the keep. You can see that there clearly used to be more island here. There are walls set up that you can sail through because of how busted the place is. There's a tall area in the center where on the map, there's like some sort of, I don't know, mermaid entwined up with an eel or something, I guess. But what is actually there in reality is a the upper section of a keep. And as you get in there, like the parts of the walls are broken, the windows are smashed out. There's like a smell of, you know, like old rotted wood and maybe some mildew and that kind of thing. It's kind of crusty in here, and there's really nothing to see. But there is a stairway that goes down into the like into the underground of the island itself. As you go down that way looking for this treasure, you can listen and potentially hear things. Go ahead and everybody just perception real fast for based on hearing.
There's a roll. 21 for perception.
4.
5.
All right. Ari and Butch, you're not hearing very much other than the creaking of like when the wind pushes against the wood and there's that sort of sound. The howling of the noise from and the splash of the water from above you guys as you walk down. And the echoing that you hear of your footfalls. Falkus, you're listening maybe a little bit more carefully, focused down this way, and you can hear something talking. And in fact, you speak, do you speak all the Elvish, or do you just speak Silvermoon Elvish?
In my languages, this is common Elvish, Orc, Thalassian, and Thieves' Cant. So I'm going to guess all Elvish. But that's
oh, fair.
No, well, you're mousing over it. You have it marked as Quel Dorai Sindarai.
Well, that's what the source is. When you mouse over Thieves' Cant, it says Rogue.
Ah, I speak Rogue.
Well, no, the source of your Thieves' Cant is yes. So, let's say that this is true. The language that you hear spoken is an old dialect of Elvish, and it's spoken in a. Oh boy, how to describe it? A parcel tongue, kind of an accent.
Interesting. Where are we here right now? I'm sorry, on the map itself.
I wanted to show you this map just to depict kind of a bird's eye view broadly of what this place kind of looks like. Where this mermaid statue is in the middle is actually the upper portion of a keep with a doorway that you can go into that you then went down. So you're not on this map, you're beneath it.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of hold up my hands like to my other two party members and be like, there's voices down below. Just very whispered to them.
Who do you think it is?
And for that, I'm going to swap to message and give you like a glaring look of like, keep your voice down through message. Sounds Elvish.
I'm sorry.
Just think your response to me and I will hear it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll do that next time.
It was that volume, but in my head that time. Let's say that.
Is that what happened, or did you say that out loud?
I said it out loud.
Perfect.
Darn it.
As you get... Yeah?
I was just going to say, I'll send the same message to Ari, that I hear voices down below. They sound Elvish, but old dialect?
As you get closer to the bottom, you hear the sounds of something... It almost sounds like something large scraping across a wooden floor. You hear the sounds of something being dragged through puddles, and the voices become more distinct. You can actually make out what it is that they're saying. You can hear that there is a discussion being had amongst more than one individual. It's hard to make out exactly how many. Of,
if we cannot
move the creature, we cannot return to the depths.
And it's that sort of like hiss, sort of a emphasis on the language, that kind of thing. And they're discussing how complicated or difficult it would be to get it out of their way.
I'll translate that for our crew and through message.
At the bottom of the stairway or pathway, you can see that there is a closed door. So you can get up to the closed door without drawing attention.
Are there pebbles on the ground at all?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to grab three, and I'm going to cast Magic Stone and give one to Falcus and one to Butch. And I'm going to be like, listen.
I'm going to pop it in my mouth.
I'm just going to look at him, roll my eyes. If you want to, you can throw or, sling this at someone, and it will do some damage. I don't know if we can use it as a surprise ability or what we can do, but... just in case. If you guys do use it, you'll use my spellcasting modifier, which is 9, for your attack roll, and then it'll be 1d6 plus 9 bludgeoning damage for the damage.
Sorry, say that again?
1d6 plus 5.
So, no.
She's giving you a magic stone that you can throw. If you throw it as an attack, it'll be a d20 plus 9 as the attack roll. And 1d6 plus 5 for the damage.
Why is it 5 for the damage?
Because with the damage roll, you add your spellcasting modifier, but not your proficiency bonus or your...
Gotcha.
Like the plus 9 is just attacks.
Okay. So, it's just something for you to have that's just sneaky. So we could get a surprise attack or something because you're just throwing the pebble or slinging it. You don't have to use it, but I can make 3, so might as well.
Are these things something that I can just search for and add to my inventory? Or
I don't think magic stone. It's a spell. It's a cantrip ability that druids, warlocks, a couple of other characters get. She picked it up recently. But it's just a... If you want to throw a rock at somebody, we're just going to do a d20 plus 9. Just keep in the back of your mind, if you ever want to whip a rock at somebody, you can do that with a bonus.
Falcus has a lot of sneaky stuff, though, so I figured this might be something you could use.
That stone, does a stone last a day?
I don't think it says.
Let's say yes. It just says hit or miss... It just says hit or miss, the spell then ends on that stone. If you cast the spell again, the spell ends early on any pebble still affected by it. It actually doesn't have it does have a range, 60 feet.
So I can't just create lots of stones. If I did another cast of it, then those stones you have would be null and void, so.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal. Just a magic rock you can throw at somebody's face.
All right, I'm going to look at Ari and Butch and basically ask, you want to go barging in or sneaky?
Well, I ain't good at sneaking at nothing. If y'all want to be sneaky and you leave me out here, I can pick them off as they come running out. otherwise, we can just barge in.
Well, let me try the handle, see if it's locked or not.
It is not.
I'll just look at Butch. I'm like, you want to go busting in? Go for it. If you want to surprise them and say, hey, how's it going, guys?
Does attacking a door count as an attack?
Door's unlocked.
Oh. I'm thinking.
Before we do that...
How sturdy is this door?
It's a wooden door that's seen a lot of rot and age.
Yeah. Okay, finish your thought.
Before Butch goes busting through that door, I'm going to pull out my thieves tool with the little mirror that's in there and just take a quick peek under the door if there's a gap to see what kind of creatures we're dealing with.
Cool idea. You can easily see that this room has several large humanoid on top, snaky on the bottom, creatures that the players would recognize as Naga. There's a couple of them in there. They have these big, finny faces with tentacle jaw blocks hanging off of their face. They have weapons on them that look like they were cut and sharpened from big pieces of coral, which do not do that. Many corals are endangered. They are having a discussion in this room about a problem that they are experiencing with the creature being in the way of where they want to go.
Can't say I've had any good experiences with Naga. Always been bad experiences.
Say it again, how many?
Let's say 4.
Help or harm? We'll only find out when we open this door.
Help or harm? You think that there's potential for to talk to them like civilized humans?
Yeah, it sounds like they have a problem. But I don't know what they're doing in here necessarily, if they're trying to take stuff and steal stuff and trying to get back to somewhere.
Make sure you don't say that with judgment, because that's literally what you're doing.
You know what? Okay, why don't y'all... Here's what I want to do. I play a good bumbling idiot, and I, on the side, just got a scroll of performance, right? Investigation. I meant performance. So, scroll of performance.
You did say performance.
The funny thing is that I typed investigation and then did it. Anyway, doesn't matter. Why don't y'all sit back and hide? I'm going to knock on the door and have a conversation with them.
I played a character once that was a warforged who was trying to convince everyone that he was human. And the way that he did that was he wore a button-up shirt, but no pants. Like, he was full Donald Duck in it, right? And he had on those Groucho Marx glasses with the big, thick, puffy eyebrows and the fake nose, but was otherwise a robot, obviously a robot. And he kept acting like, oh, yeah, no, I know what to do in this situation, and then was weirdly wrong. We humans, as we do, love our music. And then I chose the weirdest instrument I could find on my musical proficiencies. And at one point, I promised the group that I was with that I knew the exact best way to make sure that this door got open. And they let me do it. And I walked up and I knocked on the door. It worked, but a combat kicked off. Maybe that'll happen here. You walk up and knock on this door. The conversation stops on the other side.
Oh, first of all, I take that scroll.
Yes, of course. You can have your performance.
Okay.
The conversation stops. The door snaps open. It opens like away from you. It opens into the room. And you see these Naga. They all have like tridents pointed up at you. Like, who is this? Like, you know, very defensive. You would have a posture similar. The one in the door is also holding a weapon and sees that you're just standing there with a smile on your face. And rather than attacking, they stand there in silence, pointing weapons at you for a minute. And the one in front who has his hand on the doorknob goes,
"What do you want?"
Well, hi, howdy. Hello. Listen, my name is Butch. And if you can't tell, you know, I'm from Pandaria. That ain't too far from here, you know. And we're having a little bit of trouble with all that ice in the water. I don't know if you heard that it's a little bit cold over there. Anyway, we stopped over here for a little pit stop. And we're hoping to, we're not going to be here very long. Right, you know, but just wanted to introduce myself. I heard some people down here. You know, I didn't want to surprise anybody, but we're just fixing up a little hole in the ship. We should be out of here by tomorrow morning, probably. But in the meantime, we're cooking on the boat. We got a great kitchen, and we got some food to spare. You know, and some good recipes. Listen, I'm a good chef. And that boat is full of chefs. And anyway, you want to join us for dinner?
They all look at each other like this is the last thing any one of them expected to have happen. Look back at you and go,
"We have kind of a problem that we're working on, so we'll have to pass.
class, but thank you for the invitation.
Well, you know what? I'm no good at fixing boats anyway, but if you got a problem, I'm here. I'm here. You need someone strong to help you with that? And I kind of like nudge my way and, you know, put my foot in the door and be like, I sure did. But what do y'all got going in here? The rest of this island look kind of like it's falling apart, but you got something good going on in here.
All right, let's get that performance check. This is the funniest thing that's happened all day. Oh my God, I'm here for it.
Okay, I'm going to roll performance, but then it's going to be plus 5.
Yes.
Dang it. 9 plus 5 is 14.
They look at each other. I mean, you said that you were strong, and that's visibly obvious due to your stature, and you've got like 8 weapons piled on your back, like a crazy, like a Final Fantasy character.
But none of them
character.
In my hands, you know.
No, but like, you can't just walk around with multiple mauls and great axes and stuff and just calmly be like, yeah, I'm just walking around. Unless you have muscles stacked on top of your muscles. They see all this happening and they're...
How much experience do you have fighting monsters?
What, monsters? I'm from Pandaria. Have you ever seen them bug people over there? Well, they ain't even people. I'm just calling them that to be polite. But I have all the experience you want fighting them bugs. Tell you what, right now. But do y'all got monsters on your hands?
They again, they're like just trying to read each other, trying to figure out what are we doing right now? And one of them in the back goes,
no, those bug things are pretty serious. This guy's right. They're bad. They're bad news. I saw him once. It was rough.
He knows. They know.
She. It's all right. I can't tell the difference for you either. Yeah, you said you had a group. Sense. You said you keep saying we.
Oh, no. We got a boat. We got a boat, but they're busy patching up that hole right now.
Yeah. So,
and cooking food.
Okay. Well, 2 floors below here is a water passage that goes down into the depths of Vishir. It's a very safe passageway. Normally, it lets us get back to where we want to be, is down to the depths. Unfortunately, there's a great big creature in the passageway that we would take to get to where we want to be. And we can't get past it, and it's really it ate 4 of us the last time we tried to go down there. So that's what we're trying to figure out right now. If you have a way of dealing with monsters, that'd be great. If not, you can patch your boat and be on your way. But no, we're not coming up for dinner.
I'm sorry. You're telling me this thing ate 4 of your friends? And you're just trying to get back to
three
the
and a,
sheer?
It was 3.5, but we had to bury the other half, so we're calling it 4.
Oh, my goodness. To the August Celestials, I am so sorry for your loss. And so you're trying to get back to Bashir. Okay, so I bet I can help. Okay, now this thing's going to be underwater, I assume.
Yes, yes.
You know what? Believe it or not, that ain't a problem. We got something to deal with that. I think. Do you mind if I bring my couple of buddies in to take care of this? To help take care of this, maybe some ideate and some figure some stuff out.
Yeah, let's
and come back.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna walk away, right? And I'm gonna go grab a couple of friends, and we're gonna come back here. And I would like all the intel on this monster that you can possibly give me, so we know what we're going in there and how we're gonna fight it and all that. Oh, by the way, so you don't come back and forth? Do y'all usually live here?
No, we came up because we knew that they're...
They stop talking because one of them reaches out and grabs and goes,
talk about that. And he says, no, we don't normally live here. We came here for a reason, and then we're going to leave if we can get past the coral grazer monster.
Coral grazer, okay. Now, I am going to go get my friends. We are going to help you, but so you're coming up here for a reason. You don't normally be here, but if we help you out with this coral grazer, you know, could be a part, you know, a little split up some of that reason you got going on?
Insight is a wisdom check, right?
Oh, come on.
11's going to lose to that 14. The leader would say,
well, you're going to see everything. All right, on our way down so I can show you where it's at, you'll see there's like a lot of treasure on the next floor down. And we were going to take that for ourselves because we wanted it. And then when we were up here gathering it all up, the thing came and started eating all the coral that is below this area, which is normally what it does, but it also really likes bones. And you can't get your bones out of your body without getting killed. So it's been killing us to eat the bones. It's been really bad. But we're going to take the treasure down, and we're going to leave with the treasure. That's the idea.
I gotcha. You reckon you're gonna share any of that with us?
They... Go ahead and roll a persuasion with advantage for me. I enjoy what we're doing right here, because what we're doing is having the bard with the +5 charisma and all of the bonuses to persuasion, performance, all of these things. She's in the back room. She's having tea. She's fine. Put the barbarian up front.
Well, the bumbling barbarian, that's a 16 on with advantage.
They would say, yeah, you can have like 2 of the treasures.
Okay, that sounds real generous of you, but if I get down there and there's 200 treasures, is that what we're looking at? 2 out of 200?
The way he said it, you do get the sense that there's a lot more than 2. There may not be 200, but there's a lot more than 2.
I don't... Yeah, and I guess it's hard to make that deal without understanding what kind of treasure we're looking at. Because are we talking about monetary type situation? We're talking about magic type situation? We talking about weapons? We talking about...
As you start to do this sort of brokering a deal thing, over the course of the conversation, you discover that there are 15 distinct piles or chests of treasure. Each one has gold in it, like just straight monetary treasure, and either a item of magical or combat or informational significance.
All right. Well, okay. Like I said, I'm going to bring my friends back. I think this is something we could... I need all the information you got on this coral eater, okay? And I'm just going to turn the corner. I'll be lickety-split right back, okay? So be expecting me. Keep the door open so you can hear me coming and all that. I don't want to be surprising anybody. But, I bet we can help you out with that. All right? I'll see you in just a minute. And then I go back.
Yep. You pull back.
And I tell Falkus and Ari exactly the thing that happened and the deal I kind of brokered, and that we can kill a monster. It might not be all the treasure we wanted, but I also made some good friends along the way.
Hey, put a situation up like that in front of us, or at least in front of me, like at this point in time. I was like, we could just be the typical, just slam the door down, kill everybody, kill everything, and just scorch earth and just take it all. Like, but you left a little breadcrumb of, give a problem. Well, help you fix the problem.
We aren't known to be murder hobos, you know?
No.
So, Yeah, so I bring Falkus and Ari back in there and come on in and go, hey, here we are. Y'all know my name's Butch. I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry. I did not ask your names.
Most of them don't really want to be part of the conversation with you. Their leader would introduce themselves as Najtas.
Najtas. That's a good noggin name. That's one that really like pulls off the tongue. Now, these are my traveling companions. Falkus, he is extremely capable fighter. And Ari, I know she looks weird now. She's stronger than she was a couple weeks ago. I don't even know what she can do yet, but I bet we can test it out with all her horns and her no eyes and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You're like blindfolded and everything. You guys have your introductions. Everybody seems tentatively to be on the same page at this time. The Naga escort you down deeper into the pirate fortress. And it is here that you find like mad treasure. You are walked. So you go down one level into a room that's partially flooded. And then through a pathway of what hallways are left standing from when this place was like really badly impacted by the cataclysm. There's a lot of water here. There are rooms that have 3 inches of water on the floor, and there are rooms that have 3 feet of water on the floor. And the floor is not level. It like tends to bend and twist because like earthquakes and things have ruined the sort of structural integrity of this place. And you guys swim through the swim areas effortlessly, easier than you've ever swum in your lives. It occurs to you that because of the swimming speed that you've been granted, all of the normal stuff that comes as a consequence of fighting while in the water is not something you're going to have to deal with, because like rules as written, 5th edition D&D, you have disadvantage on weapon attacks, you have like a whole bunch of different problems if you do not have a swim speed. You do temporarily have a swim speed, so you're not going to have to worry about attacking with disadvantage, any of that stuff. You are going to have to worry about breathing, because you are going to be underwater, but that's a separate concern that is, personally, I think, easier to address, unless you're a spellcaster, in which case there's trouble there, but we'll figure that out in a moment. As you are escorted through these paths, you count a total of 15 different and distinct piles of treasure. Every one of them has probably a couple hundred gold pieces in the pile. Like sometimes it's a big chest, sometimes it's a bag and the coins are flowing out of it, whatever. All in the flavor of a few hundred gold. And they each pile has something that is clearly treasure, but is less obviously treasure than what gold would be. One of them has a musical instrument laying on top. One of them has a piece of armor mixed in with the gold pieces. One of them has, you know, a little wooden rack that has glass vials in it of different colored liquids. So you're like, okay, potion rack of some kind. There's some stuff, some potions set aside into this treasure pile. And you walk to the end of this sort of winding pathway, and you are brought to a place where the floor just falls out and it's just water. And as you look down, you can just swim downward through the water. And the Naga point down and they say,
down below is a monster called a coral grazer.
And they explain to you what a coral grazer is. This thing is a large, dangerous, tentacled creature. Lives in the sea. It eats mostly coral for food. It has, and you explicitly were like, listen, you have to tell us everything. So rather than have you roll nature checks or anything for you to come up with this knowledge, just give it to you straight up. It has these long tentacles that each end in like a parrot beak, kind of like an octopus mouth, right? That it uses to bite into hard stuff like coral and bones. And what you know is that an adult coral grazer can produce a fear effect magically or magically, but like it's like a big scary thing. And sometimes people have been afraid of it. So there's like a fear component. And it has sometimes been known to attract coral grazer larvae into a fight for defense purposes. Given all that information, and given the fact that really the most complicated thing about fighting underwater with a swim speed is going to be breathing, you should know that you can hold your breath for a number of minutes equal to 1 plus your constitution modifier. So you can hold your breath a long time. However, there's a chance that if you are hit, it will knock the wind out of you. And if you are out of air, you may potentially drown. Also, you cannot speak while you're holding your breath. So if you have spells or a method of communication that requires that you speak, that will also potentially cause consequences. That's what we're looking at.
So I can't do verbal spells, but somatic spells I can still do.
You can do verbal spells, but the act of speaking the magic words for the spell will cost you air. Is there anything else that you guys would like to do before we descend into the depths?
You said there's a thing with vials, right?
Yes, one of the treasures that you walked past had a potion rack.
I'm going to turn to the Naga and I'm going to say, this shouldn't be a problem for us. The one thing, though, is we are not as good at being underwater as you are. Can I look at those potions for just a moment? You can come with me. I'm not going to use them. I would just like to touch them for a little bit just to see if I can get an idea if one of them can help us underwater. Unless you guys have something that can help us.
So they would agree because that sounds reasonable. They would let you know that if you choose to take the potions, that will be one of the two treasures, and they will not let you take another treasure until the job is done. But they walk you over and show you the potions. You can see with your various expertise using magic potions in the past that we're talking about a potion of... Here, let me actually double check to make sure this is right. There's a potion of vitality, which would be good for removing exhaustion, diseases, poisons, that kind of thing. There's a potion of mind reading, a potion of heroism, which will give you temporary hit points, immunity to fear, actually, I think, now that I mention it. There's a potion of fire breath, which I don't think I would use underwater. And there's a potion of aqueous form, which would turn you into water, which on paper sounds good, but wouldn't actually be very beneficial in a water combat.
Okay, I would just look at them. I would put them back on top of the pile and say thank you and very respectfully bow, whatever, and head back to Butch and Falk, because he'd be like, those aren't going to help us. We'll be fine. This just might be a little bit more up in their face for me than normal.
Okay. You get into the pool, and before you descend, the last thing they would say is... Again, the reason they want to come through here is because this passageway leads them down to their home in Vashir. So as long as this doesn't result in, like, the pathway being blocked or something, everything's kosher, the deal is met, you can get your reward, and we're all happy. You guys descend down, and I will show you the map.
Ooh.
The coral grazer, you should be able to see it. It is down in the center area where the deepest part is. There's a large area to be in here. And you can swim down kind of into whatever position on the map you'd like to be in. As you swim down, you can see this thing. It's like a gross, pale flesh color sphere with an eyeball in it that has lots of tentacle arms coming off of its middle, and all of those tentacle arms end in a parrot beak, and it reaches out to grab onto the coral. It's well lit down here. There's a lot of bioluminescence you guys can see. Although, now that I think about it, it's really not a problem because now we are at a point where everyone in the party has dark vision through one flavor or another. Falkus due to his elvish ancestry, Butch because of the belt of dwarven kind, and Ari because you don't have to have eyes to see. And you guys descend into the murky depths.
Boom, boom, boom.
As the combat begins, you can see that this thing's tentacle arms are long enough to reach you at a decent distance, and he does like to crash his big tentacle arms into the walls, and you see a shudder of the rocks and the coral and the bubbles from the water as he slams his arms into stuff.
Our heroes made a pit stop at the pirate fortress discovered by Falkus on Plunder Isle and found a school of Naga trying to haul away the treasures there. Butch took the lead, striking a deal to kill a monster in exchange for treasure. The party isn't used to fighting underwater, but I believe they have what they'll need to come out on top. Hopefully the Naga keep their end of the bargain. We'll find out next time we queue up for some more heroic Dungeons and Dragons.
Please follow us at twitter.com/heroicdnd, where you'll find our players' social media info and a link to our Discord server.